The gunman behind the mass shooting at a Michigan high school is planning an insanity defense for his role in the attack that day. An attorney for Ethan Crumbly filed the papers today, opening the door for him to undergo a psychiatric evaluation before any trial. This all comes the same day as students and families file yet another lawsuit citing what they are calling errors made by school counselors, administrators, and teachers for failing to report concerns about Ethan's mental state and behavior before the shooting. News Nation's Kelly Beeson is here with us tonight. Kelly, prosecutors have portrayed Ethan as a troubled and also homicidal teen.
Yeah, they have, Marnie. Now, several lawsuits have been filed saying school staff could have done more to prevent the crimes, and some accusing the Crumbly family of reckless conduct. It comes the same week Oxford High School returned to in-person learning.
Ethan Crumbly now pursuing an insanity defense after being charged as an adult with murder and other crimes. Nearly 2 months have passed since Crumbly allegedly opened fire at Oxford High School, killing 4 students and injuring 7 others. The notice of his defense will likely lead to mental health exams of the 15-year-old, who's now being held behind bars.
I can tell you is, Kelly, you know, apparently we in Michigan thought we were immune from this. We didn't think this could ever happen. What we want to do is expose what the school did do wrong.
The news comes as a new lawsuit was filed by families in the school district. The parents of Tate Meir, a student killed in the gunfire, among the plaintiffs in the case.
We're not doing good. All we do is walk around the house and think about Tate. We think about him every day.
And the parents of another student, Keegan Gregory, also named as plaintiffs. The family's attorney, Van Johnson, says Keegan was hiding with Justin Schilling in the bathroom when Schilling was killed.
They just happened to be hiding and taking cover in the bathroom. And then Crumbly walks in and executes Justin Schilling right in front of Keegan, watched that whole thing, and then told Keegan, lie down next to him, and Keegan ran.
He's nowhere near going back to class, let alone functioning like a normal 15-year-old child. He wants to sit and watch movies that we watched when he was a young child. We have to check doors, we have to check under beds.
The nearly 40-page lawsuit alleging gross negligence by school officials and Crumbly's parents over the attack. The family's lawyer says school staff violated the Michigan Child Protection Act by not removing Crumbly from school.
Is we want to share this information with other school officials all across the country, across the world, to look at, here's what these folks knew, and here's what they should have done, to give them a clear path, an outline for what they should have done and how it could have prevented this entire thing. And it took one call with 3 digits, 911.
Exhibits in the lawsuit detail Ethan Crumbly's drawings, reading, "The thoughts won't stop, help me, and my life is useless." The district also releasing a lengthy note titled, "Clarification from the Superintendent." It reads in part, "We've always taken threats very seriously and will continue to listen to students and parents who report threats to the district. In reminding everyone to say something if you see something, we are in no way suggesting that our community has ever hesitated to do so in the past."
Now, the district also mentioned in that post that tips given to the district were forwarded to law enforcement, noting that the county prosecutor has asked that the school district not unduly comment on details surrounding the case in order to avoid any interference with the criminal proceedings. Marnie.
Kelly, thank you. Rachel Fizay is a criminal defense attorney. She's based in Los Angeles and joins me now to talk more about this case. Rachel, I want to first focus on this insanity defense against Ethan Crumbly. Explain what that means and how they prove it.
An insanity defense is rarely used. It's used in about 1% of criminal cases. And how it is proven is by psychiatric evaluations and then showing that the defendant did not know right from wrong at the time that the crime was committed, or that he was unable to resist the impulse to commit the crime. So it is evaluations and showing this inability to know the consequences of actions that make up this defense.
Well, let me ask you then, because will it be more difficult to prove insanity given some of the teen's behaviors leading up to the shooting that day? His text messages, his drawings, social media posts, some animals that he had, a bird in a jar. Those were all things that happened leading up to it.
I think it is hard. And I think the evidence will make it very difficult for them to plead the insanity defense successfully. It's not to say he's not mentally ill. It's a very different standard. Obviously, this boy has a lot of troubles, but to get to the level of insanity where you are not guilty by reason of insanity takes a lot. And the fact that he hid in a bathroom, put his gun in his backpack, he waited for his parents to leave the school, and it looks like there was premeditated planning that went into this, does not support the finding of insanity.
So it sounds unlikely in your mind. So if he is not found legally insane, the trial continues criminally?
Well, the trial will continue criminally no matter what. So what the trial now becomes is his insanity, because basically the defendant and the defense team are admitting at the beginning of the trial that he did it. So there's no longer an issue of whether this happened. And when you think about the facts as they are in this case, the defense team was not left with a lot of options. It's pretty clear he did it. So now you go to the next step, which at this point is a defense. So that's what the trial is going to be about. It's going to be about what his state of mind was at the time that this went on.
How does the argument of insanity play into the charges against the parents right now? Does it impact their case?
I think it does. So if the parents are supporting, yes, our son was insane, they have a lot of explaining to do when you think of their actions, of buying their son a gun, of not keeping it safely kept inside the home, of showing up at school that day with all of the information they were told relating to his drawings and his state of mind and what the threats looked like, and that he's a basic huge loud cries for help and danger, and leaving him at school. I think that it really hurts their case, while it may or may not help their son's case.
Let's talk about the lawsuit filed against not only the parents, but also the school, which includes administrators, guidance counselors, teachers. You have ordinary negligence, and then you have gross negligence, which is what this lawsuit alleges against the school. What's the difference, and what are the implications?
So they're alleging gross negligence because they have to get over the school's inability to be sued for negligence. So that all that is happening here is from a regular negligence standard. They have to raise it in order to be able to collect money from the school based on the school's immunity from suit. And so gross negligence is a disregard for human safety. And that's what they are alleging through the actions.
All right, a lot to keep an eye on. Rachel Fizay, as always, we appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Thank you.